¿Qué tal? Muy buenos días, 11:36 aquí con el mendiguisísimo Chupacabras. Aquí en cabina tenemos una candidata que se ha postulado para la vicegobernatura del estado de Idaho. Tenemos a la republicana Priscilla Gettings. Ella es representante actualmente de Whitebird, si no me equivoco. Así que muchas gracias por estar con nosotros. Thank you for being with us to chat a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your campaign. I will preface this, that we will be giving the same opportunity to Scott Bedke and also to Terry Pickens, Manweiler, because we believe it's important to have dialogue amongst all candidates. And obviously, those who are listening can make their decision coming up on the 17th, which is a big day for the primary elections in the state of Idaho. So thanks again for being with us today.
Buenos dias. Thank you.
Okay. Vamos a comenzar un poco platicando acerca de su historial. Queremos conocerla un poco mejor. Cuéntenos un poco acerca de usted y dónde ha vivido y por qué se quiere postular para la vicegobernadora de Idaho. Let's go into your personal history. Tell us a little bit about yourself and then maybe springboard from that as to why you want to represent the state of Idaho as the next lieutenant governor.
Yeah, I grew up in a Christian family in Idaho Falls for a while, and then we moved up to Riggins. And when I was about 10, I got to live in Israel for a year, and I saw terrorism firsthand.
Wow. Ella dice que ha vivido en Idaho Falls, y luego se mudó para Riggins en el norte del estado en una familia cristiana, y luego permaneció en Israel por un año. Así que dice que ha podido conocer el terrorismo por primera mano. I mean, that was an interesting experience being in Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I realize we have so many freedoms here we don't realize we have, and freedoms worth fighting for.
Y se dio cuenta de que tenemos muchísimas libertades aquí en Estados Unidos y muchas de las cuales deberíamos defender. I also understand you are a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force Reserves. Ella es coronel teniente en las reservas de la Fuerza Aérea de Estados Unidos. Tell us a little bit about your Air Force career.
Right.
Because I think that's fascinating.
I went to college at the Air Force Academy, was a fighter, pilot, flew MC-12s, 1,000 combat
Holy
hours
cow.
In Afghanistan, and now I'm currently a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force Reserves.
Wow. Ella, pues, ha sido piloto, ¿no?, de varios aviones, también, ella voló sobre Afganistán por más de 1,000 horas y actualmente forma parte como coronel teniente en las reservas aquí en el estado de Idaho. And you've been a legislator for how long?
For 6 years.
Y ha formado parte de la legislatura estatal por los últimos 6 años. What got you into politics? ¿Cómo comenzó usted ahí en esta índole política?
I just really felt called to fight for freedom locally. My father was a Idaho County Sheriff, and so I knew a little bit about the importance of policy.
Sure. Dice que se dio cuenta de que era muy importante representar a los constituyentes. Lo aprendió de su papá, que era alguacil en el condado de Idaho, y eso sí le dio un ímpetu y le dio un poco de empuje para que se postulara ahí en la política. So that's what made you decide to run for the first time 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Well, I saw that we were losing some of our conservative values, and so I just wanted to fight for those values here in Idaho.
Ella dice que vio que se perdían ciertos valores conservadores y ha querido conservarlos. Now, that's an interesting assertion that you make right there. I see, as an observer, that the Republican Party is kind of fractured. You have one side that has, you know, a certain ideological bent, and another side that is a little bit more moderate. Where would you put yourself on that scale? El Partido Republicano en el estado de Idaho se ha fracturado. Hay un lado un poco más moderado y otro lado más derechista. ¿Dónde se ubica usted?
Yeah, that's good. I see it as we have like thirds. You have kind of more of the left, the middle, and then more of the right. And I'm definitely on the right. I have a
You say left. Are there are leftists within the Republican Party in Idaho?
Well, I mean, no, I was including Democrats as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so all right. Thanks for clearing that up. Yeah. Ella dice que pues que realmente hay tres ideologías diferentes en el estado de Idaho. Los derechistas, los que son moderados, centristas, y los que son izquierdistas, e incluyó a los demócratas como parte de los izquierdistas. Where would you put yourself on that ideological scale?
A good way to measure it is the American Conservative Union. They're a national organization, and they rank us on how we actually vote on bills. And so my 6 years of voting on bills, I have a 97% conservative record. So it puts me pretty far to the right. right as conservative.
Ella dice que pues se ubica estrechamente en el lado derechista, ¿no? Según el ranking de American Conservative Union, where do you rank with the Idaho Freedom Foundation? What is your stature there?
You know, they just came out with their newest index. I think I'm at like a 93%.
Y con la Fundación Idaho Freedom Foundation, pues ella tiene un ranking de como 93% por ahí. So you would consider yourself as one who is a paleoconservative?
I've never heard that, but sure.
Okay. Ella se considera como conservadora en todos los sentidos. Let's talk a little bit about your representation there for the folks in Whitebird and the rest of the people here in the state of Idaho. Last year, you were censured by a bipartisan committee for a controversial thing. We'll just leave it there. Yeah. I mean, we can talk about that later on. How will that affect you if you are elected to office? El año pasado, usted fue censurada por un grupo bipartidista y quisiera saber cómo eso le afectará en el futuro como vicegobernadora, si es que es elegida.
Yeah, it won't affect me at all. Basically, my opponent did an internal complaint against me, and it pulled me off of one of my committees that I served on in the legislature. As a next lieutenant governor, it wouldn't impact me at all, really. I would say it was a political attack, and a lot of people saw through it, and it's actually, that's why we have so much support.
Dice ella que su contrincante la atacó y que se dirigió a ella, y entonces utilizó su propio esquema para manchar su reputación, pero al fin de cuentas no le va a afectar si es elegida como la gobernadora teniente del estado de Idaho. And so you lost a post on the Commerce Committee and Human Resources Committee, as I recall.
Right.
So you say that it was your opponent. I'd like you to identify who that is and how. What kind of evidence do you have that he besmirched your reputation?
Sure. So you mentioned you were going to have the other two candidates who are running for lieutenant governor on. And
correct.
One is a Democrat, so they're on that left side. And then one is a moderate, who is Scott Bedke, and he's currently the Speaker of the House. So we kind of have all three of the factions that we mentioned earlier running for this position of lieutenant governor.
Dice que yo voy a invitar a Scott Bedke, que es moderado, que es centrista, a su juicio, y también la demócrata Terry Pickens-Manweiler. Así que tenemos la representación de los tres. But you're claiming particularly, though, that your opponent, you said your opponent, when you were making that statement a few moments ago, did that as a purposeful attack on you. What evidence do you have to support that assertion?
Right. So he's the one that filed the internal complaint against me. He signed it. And basically what it came down to is that there was a young woman who was a volunteer at the Capitol, and she made an accusation against another legislator. And I, after the whole thing went public, I posted an already published news article about the situation on my Facebook page. And he, from that, then filed the complaint against me, saying that I shouldn't have posted that news article. So in my mind, he's really kind of saying that you shouldn't have First Amendment rights, and he's not really standing up for due process and making sure that both sides of the story were accurately represented. And it was very political. We've known he was going to run for lieutenant governor. They knew I was going to run for lieutenant governor. So it was all happening at the same time, and he ended up using your taxpayer money to do the whole proceeding against me.
But my question for you on a follow-up is this. You know, you made the assertion that he made that decision while he was still a candidate. From my understanding, he was not yet a candidate when that occurred, and neither were you. But my question is, if you were concerned about him, or about his not recusing himself in this, why did you participate in the vote and supporting yourself then, and against, you know, being censured in the House? Wouldn't you recuse yourself as well? Does that make sense? I'm trying to be congruent on that particular issue there. So if you're accusing him, should have you not participated in voting against your censure?
So I never said that he should or shouldn't have voted. He probably should not have approved the hundreds of thousands of dollars of your taxpayer money to be used against me, because that helps him.
Do you have some way to sustain hundreds of thousands of dollars? Do you have that? Would you mind sending me that information?
Sure.
I'd be interested in seeing that.
Yeah, and $64,000 of it went to a law firm that contributes money to his campaign.
Ella está diciendo, pues según su juicio, que su contrincante, el señor Becky, como el presidente de la Cámara Baja, utilizó los impuestos de todos nosotros, más de $100,000, y también, según dice ella, $64,000 para atacarla y para crear pues esta política que la involucró indebidamente, según su juicio, en un juicio político que le dieron cuando la censuraron con un voto de 49-19 y al fin de cuentas la quitaron de su puesto en el Comité de Comercio y Recursos Humanos por conducta impropia de una legisladora. A number of other groups have been asking if this is affecting your standing with the Air Force Reserves, because obviously the military has an ethical conduct that you have to abide by. Has this impacted your standing with the military?
Not at all. So this was all internal to the legislature, has nothing to do with the legal system or anything in the Air Force. And I actually got promoted to Lieutenant Colonel after all of this happened.
But, well, from what I understand, that happened in October, and the vote on censure took place in November. So it actually happened before. Is that correct?
So the committee made the decision on censure before it all happened.
Yeah, but the vote did not take place until November, until the 15th of November.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, it was already decided, but you're right. I mean, the actual vote.
Okay. Se llevó a cabo el voto el día 15 de noviembre. Ella dice que como quiera había sido promovida, que recibió la promoción en la Fuerza Aérea a coronel teniente en el mes de octubre del año pasado. If you could redo this all over again, do you regret having published the name of a victim, according to others, of doxing a victim?
So I would say you're kind of jumping on a bad one, because she's not a victim. There's never been a conviction. She just made an accusation of unconsensual fellatio, and that's never, there's no conviction. So she's not really a victim in Idaho law. However, would I have done anything?
Don't you think it's important to protect women who potentially could be victims? I mean, you don't know that she's not a victim. There's nothing to say that she's not a victim, so you have to have the presumption that she is and protect her.
So I absolutely will stand up for women and their rights. I mean, I take a backseat to no one in that situation. However, we have a legal and a judicial process that makes sure that there's due process, and both sides of the story need to be heard. And that's why we have the rule of law, to make an accusation and to destroy somebody's life just without facts. I mean, he passed three
lies detector tests. But Mr. Von Ellinger kind of copped to, you know, he agreed. He didn't say yes or no, but he kind of accepted the fact that there was enough evidence to expel him, and so he resigned from the state legislature. So is that not in enough in itself that there could be the presumption that there was improper behavior on his behalf, an ethical breach?
So I don't know what happened, and I don't.
So if that's the case, why would you publish the name of a presumptive victim?
Well, I can tell you're biased, because I didn't publish anything.
I'm biased? How am I biased? I'm asking questions because I think people have the right to know that.
Yeah.
I'm not being biased. I'm asking you tough, hardball questions because that's my job. And if you think I'm biased, I'm very, very sorry, but I'm going to be the same for other candidates who are running against you.
Yeah, no, that's good. But I didn't publish anything. I posted an already published news article. So you can't say I published something when I just shared a news article. That's why I'm saying that you're biased. And as far as what it shared both sides of the story, because I absolutely going to stand up for due process.
From a blog, but it was a blog. It does not come from something that has been vetted. This is he said, she said. That's hearsay as a matter of law.
Yeah, both of it is. And this never went into the legal. I mean, it's still working its way through the legal process, right? So Readout News is a news station, right? Whether you want to call it a blog or not, it's called Readout News. And they published a news article, and I reposted it. So I didn't publish anything. And when they asked, when the internal committee asked for that information to be removed, they removed it. So...
And so you don't regret having shared that article in the first place?
I will stand up for due process all the time. If someone makes an accusation against you, I think both sides of the story should be allowed to be heard, and it should go through the legal process.
And that includes maybe even mentioning the name of a potential victim.
I shared the news article.
You're walking away from that.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're walking away from that.
Do you believe in First Amendment rights?
I also believe in protecting those who are victims.
But is she a victim?
Well, do you have a daughter?
I have two.
Okay. If that happened to your daughter, wouldn't you want, would you not want her name not shared in the press? I wouldn't want it.
Yeah, and my opponent is the one who brought all of this to light and made her testify publicly. He could have fixed this and left it inside the judicial process, but he chose to make it public instead. To me, that's a leadership problem. It has nothing to do with me sharing a news article. That's my job as a legislator, is to let my constituents know what's going on, right? And we need to let the judicial process sort through
this. So how does Mr. Von Ellinger's district in Lewiston affect Whitebird?
Well, it didn't, but now we have redistricting. And so now Lewiston will be part of District 7, but I'm not running for that. I'm running for lieutenant governor.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Let's say we're going to leave that that other contentious issue behind there. Let's move on to another issue that I think is very important here. Let's say that Governor Little is reelected as governor and you are elected as lieutenant governor. What will happen? What kind of relationship would you have with Governor Little if you are so elected? ¿Qué pasaría si usted es elegida como vicegobernadora y el gobernador gana otro término ahí en su escaño? ¿Qué pasará? ¿Qué clase de relación habrá entre ustedes dos?
I think hopefully it would be good. You know, as an officer, I've worked in more than 30 countries across the world with people of all different nationalities and backgrounds and political opinions. I mean, I can work with anybody. And so I hope it will be an open door.
Who are you endorsing for governor?
I'm not. I need to be able to work with whoever wins.
Okay. Ella dice que no está dando su apoyo a ningún candidato en su partido para gobernador o gobernadora. Well, that's good to know. That's good to know there. So you would hope to have a cordial relationship, a working relationship with whomever is at the helm.
Absolutely.
Or let's say there's a Democrat who wins. Do you think you could deal with someone on the left?
Absolutely. You know, it might actually be good for Idaho. And
You never know. Le pregunté, ¿y qué pasaría si ganara un demócrata como el encabezado ahí como gobernador en el estado de Idaho? Another couple of issues here that I think are very important to Hispanics. Why are you courting the Hispanic vote? ¿Por qué está buscando el apoyo de los hispanos?
I don't know that I'd say I'm courting. I just think that we're all Idahoans and we all care about who our leaders are.
Dice que, bueno, no estoy buscando su apoyo de por sí, sino que pues todos son Idahoenses y debe de ser importante considerar a quienes son sus líderes. Mm.
I love our Hispanic community. I have a nanny. She's from Colombia, teaching my children Spanish. I love their culture. I love their family values. Uh-huh. I love their love of God.
Dice que le encanta los valores familiares y además el amor que tienen por Dios. Y hasta cuenta con una empleada en su casa, una sirvienta que le ayuda de Colombia. Let me ask you about one issue that is huge for Hispanics, and that is the driver's privilege card, which came from Senator Jim Guthrie from McCammon. A year ago, it was not presented in this year's legislature. What is your stance on that? Would you support a driver's privilege card?
You know, I don't know what specifically
came from the Senate Transportation Committee, and a number of people on both sides have supported it. It's also a project that has a lot of support from the Idaho Dairymen's Association. Yeah.
You know, I think if you're able to drive, you should be able to drive. I mean, it's pretty simple facts. I mean, basics there. As far as the details and what I think in that card, they were wanting to link more to it, like trying to require citizenship and all of
things. No, they're not requiring it. No, they were not requiring citizenship on that. All they were doing was showing that one was eligible to drive, and that's all. It would have absolutely no impact at all on whether one was a illegal resident or citizen or whatever. Had absolutely nothing to do with one's legal status in the country.
Yeah. So let them drive.
So you would favor, I can put you on record as supporting a driver's privilege card here in the state of Idaho.
I'll caveat it with this. As the lieutenant governor, you don't make votes. And so I'm not moving into a policy position. I'm moving into a leadership position in the executive branch and making sure that our agencies do what they're supposed to do and follow the law. So while I think they should be able to drive,
You are a legislator right now. So speaking as a legislator, would you favor this or not?
So the session is over. So I have no more votes under me.
But, so in other words, you're tap dancing with
I'm
all
totally
due respect.
Tap dancing. Yeah, because I don't have any more votes. I don't have any policy making.
So you wouldn't. But you wouldn't stand up for it.
I don't think I'd be a strong advocate, but I think that our workers, I mean, if they're here legally, then they need to be able to drive easily.
What about those who don't have perhaps all their legal documents in order? Should they be able to drive? They're going to be driving anyway.
I would encourage them to get, you know, a work visa or to make sure that...
Well, sometimes that's not possible if they've been here for 20, 30 years, as many have.
Then that's where I think in my role as lieutenant governor, I need to make sure that we're helping those people, you know, navigate through the bureaucracy so that they can live here and work here legally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move on to another issue. You were against a $6 million grant from the federal government mm-hmm. that would have helped early childhood literacy. It was supported by our federal legislators. You know, Senators Crapo and Risch. Mm-hmm. Why were you against that? Ella se opuso a una subvención de $6 millones de parte del gobierno federal que hubiera ayudado con la alfabetización y programas para los más pequeños.
It was signed into law in D.C. when Trump was still the president, but then it came down to Idaho after Biden had taken over, and he changed from the 1776 commission to the 1619 project, and then they started recommending material that was focusing more on Marxist ideology and teaching critical race theory to children, and they were recommending children's books focusing on critical race theory, and I didn't want to support an organization that was going to be pushing those liberal ideas to our children. Our preschoolers.
So what evidence do you have that those were going to be required as part of that $6 million in funding?
So when I debated against it in the legislature, I stood up and I showed they had the website, the recommended reading material that this nonprofit was encouraging teachers to use. They had a whole book list. I mean, one of which I brought in the studio today, Not My Idea, a book about white whiteness, showing that all white people are trying to teach children that all white people are inherently racist and that our nation is inherently racist, which I do not believe. I believe that we are a strong nation based on hard work and equal opportunity. So that was, we had this stuff online and we were able to defeat it, and then it got funded, I think, this year, hopefully with restrictions.
And so you differ with the Republican senators back in Washington, D.C. who supported that funding?
I did, only because we got a new president who changed some of the content that the money was going to support, right?
Okay, in your opinion there. Let's move on to one final issue here. And I know you're busy, you got to get on with it. And I really appreciate your time, I really do. And thank you for taking all of these tough questions here. One of the things that you stood out towards the end of the legislative session was to prevent the collection of ballots in mass locations. Why were you against that? And what evidence do you have that our electoral system in the state of Idaho really needed that measure that you were supporting?
Yeah, so Idaho is ranked 38th in the nation for election integrity. And we've just been doing a little bit of searching, but we see that our elections are not as safe and secure as they could be. We saw evidence, and there's a movie coming out by Dinesh D'Souza called 2,000 Mules, evidence of where people are paid to collect large numbers of ballots and then put them in drop boxes.
But has that occurred in Idaho?
I don't know, because there's no video camera proof to look at.
But what about the audits that were done by Lawrence Wisden, the attorney general of several different counties, which basically showed that everything was within the margin of error, and that our electoral system in Idaho is very strong?
So he only looked at three small counties where they only still hand count. He didn't look at any of the counties where they have machines or drop boxes. And so,
but what evidence do you have that there are problems with those that are counted automatically or you know, counted by computers?
So I would say in Idaho, my evidence has been finding people who are voting in multiple states who are voting even though they've moved, which is illegal. We have underage people that are on the registration list. We have dead people who are on the registration list. We have about
30. Can you prove that?
Oh, absolutely.
I'd like to see the proof on some of these things here.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of using Excel and taking the who's voted and who's listed to be voted, and you start looking at their names and their addresses. There were 60 people who used their address as the county clerk's office to vote, which is not legal.
Do you feel that we had a safe election in the state of Idaho for the presidential elections in 2020?
I honestly don't know. And we don't have anyone who's looked at it super closely.
And who should be in that role of looking at it super closely, as you stated there? Whose role should that be?
I think the Secretary of State.
Well, he's actually stated that he has seen no credible allegations.
Right. And he hasn't looked either.
And can you sustain your assertion there that he's not?
That he hasn't looked?
Yeah.
Well, he's looked at those three counties, right? But he hasn't looked at the machines and, you know, compared. But there was a new law this year that will allow him to audit an election. And it was passed and signed into law.
Estamos hablando acerca de presunto fraude electoral en el estado de Idaho. Ella dice que es el trabajo del procurador general para hacer auditorías, para cerciorarse de que no haya fraude. Y según cuenta ella, hubo casos de, you said 60 people, que supuestamente 60 personas que supuestamente utilizaron la dirección del secretario del condado y votaron en el estado de Idaho y cometieron fraude electoral. Así que ella dice que es algo que se debe de hacer, se debe de procurar que haya más control para que esto no suceda en el futuro. Finally, I'm going to give you 60 seconds to kind of tell us what else you would do if you were elected as Idaho's next lieutenant governor. Le voy a dar 60 segundos para terminar esto. ¿Qué es lo que haría usted al ser elegida si es que así desean los constituyentes?
Yeah, so basically, my goal is to be an ambassador for America First Principles and to expose corruption and to just be a liaison for Idahoans to work with the executive branch. You know, we have 220 state agencies, boards, and commissions, and they have a lot of rules, and people just need help navigating that. So being a liaison for the people instead of just a manager of government. So
ella dice que quiere ser intermediaria a favor de ustedes si es que es elegida como vicegobernadora y quiere estar a favor de ustedes para promover los principios de America First y va a hacer todo lo posible para instituir estos principios. Thank you very much for being with us again. I apologize if I was a little tough on some of my questioning there, but I think it's important to get to know who is running for office and why, and we'll leave that decision up to the people on the 17th. So may the best man or woman win, you know, in this election this year. Thank you very much. Hemos estado platicando con Priscilla Geddings. Ella es representante de Whitebird.